Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler. I'm here with my co-host, Judy Davis, doing what we love most, and that is bringing you information and resources and help in parenting in the 21st century, getting real, raw, and relevant about the truth about parenting teens and young adults. Today, we are excited about what we're doing, but we want to remind you that we have more for you. There are things at mightyparenting.com, and when you go there, if you go to the support page, you'll see there's even more that we have in our private community. So make sure you check that out. And we want to thank those of you who are financially supporting the podcast and helping us stay on the air. We so appreciate that, as well as those who are sharing it and talking to us. We are listening, and we have some awesome things in the works for helping to answer more of your questions, but more to come on that later.
Shh, don't tell.
I know. Do you notice that right up that line? Like, if I cross it, Judy's going to whack my knuckles with a ruler.
Exactly.
So today it's me and Judy with you doing a Mighty Parenting Tackles episode, and we are tackling what parents of teens and 20-somethings need to know to deal with summer. And we're not going to be doing the how to organize your summer activities. There's plenty of that information out there. We're going to be digging into what you need to know to function and survive and have a hopefully happy and emotionally healthy household this summer. Because the summer is a great season. It's a time for fun and family togetherness. However, if you are unprepared, it can be a stressful time for everyone. It's a time where we can also run into a lot of family friction. We can get a lot of power struggles. But when you have your eyes open, kind of a general game plan, and some good conversations, it can really set you up for a much better season. So today, that's what Judy and I are tackling. We are tackling summer and what parents of high school and college kids need to know to have smooth sailing or at least avoid the rapids. And I really, you know, in talking about that, I really want to start with the college kids, Judy, because I think it is much more obvious to parents that things are very different when those college kids come home from school for the first time, don't you think?
I do, and I think it's a shocker, to be honest, because you haven't changed. Your daily routine is pretty much the same with a little less number of practices and games and things like that, or you might be worrying a little more because your child has flown the nest and you're kind of learning the new normal for your family while your child's gone. But it's one of those things that I think as parents, I know for myself anyway, I wasn't prepared for the fact that my kids now had experiences that I had no clue. And those experiences changed them. And on the flip side of it, them being gone and our new normal at home changed us. And yeah, no one kind of acknowledged that the other people are changed. And it was just natural to think that everything would just go back to the way it was before. And that's not the case. That's not how it plays out.
No, I know what you're saying. It's, you know, and on top of that, not only do you think it's going to go back to the way it was before, when you think back to the way it was before, if you've been missing them and you're looking forward to them coming home, you're just remembering the good times and the fun that you had and the good parts of the family vacation. Or like us, it's not so much about a big family vacation. We love to just, because we live in a tourist area, so we like to go out and just experience the music festivals and all that stuff that's going on here. And you remember all that good stuff. If you are kind of worried or dreading them coming home because there has been a lot of friction and stuff in the past, then chances are you're doing the opposite and you're only focusing on the really difficult things and how much you battled and how much they can push your buttons or the things they did that make you crazy. And we set up these expectations on one end of the spectrum or the other, and we kind of set ourselves up for failure in that too. Because if we expect it to be horrible, we're going to do things that help make it horrible. If we expect it to be perfect, we're going to get all upset the first time it's not perfect, and then we're going to ruin it ourselves.
Right. You're 100% correct. And I think that we can kind of get ahead of both of those situations and find a happy medium. And we can do that before they even step in the door. I mean, the process can start before they even throw down their bags of dirty laundry, or you all have to pull all of their stuff out of their dorm room to get home and figure out what to do with it for the summer till you got to pack it all up and take it back. You know, you can get to a place where you manage those expectations really well with a few quick talks way before they come home for the summer.
Well, so, I want to interrupt you for a second because I really like this idea. It's one of the reasons that we wanted to get this episode out now, mm-hmm. is that, you know, most of us have a good chunk of time before the high school kids are out, because we're going to go specifically into high school, but a lot of what we talk about with college, I think, is going to apply to high school too. So one, we have lots of time before the high school kids get out. And two, we have some time before college kids get out. And in listening to you, I'm thinking that one of the things we can do is actually right now just start talking to our kids a little bit more. Try and get on the phone with them or text or email or whatever it is that they're, whatever way they you communicate with them. And maybe try to almost get to know them a little bit more. You know, acknowledge to yourself and to them that you realize that they've grown this year. You know, they're new people. My daughter went in high school, her orchestra went on a 1 week trip. This is 1 week to the state of California. We live in Michigan. And when she came home, there was a visible difference in this child. And so it's like, if you think about 1 week of being just in another state can actually have them grow and change, think about after a year of living out on their own, being an adult. And granted, yes, I know that they're not fully adulting yet, but they're taking responsibility for their life. They don't have mom and dad there smoothing the path for them and taking everything over. So I think just talking to them and opening our minds up to go, huh, how have they changed? How have they grown? Who are they now?
Right. And that's the ultimate goal, to understand. And there's questions that you can ask to get that information without being so direct and go, okay, so I know you've changed. Who are you
now?
You know?
Okay, so give me questions.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that it starts off with very open-ended, what is it that you want out of the summer?
Oh, you're diving into summer. I wasn't there yet. I was just trying to kind of acknowledge that my kid is someone new, but this is really interesting because that's a good way to find out who they are.
Right.
Asking about what they want.
Right. So I am looking at it. If we start diving in to try and understand how they've changed, I could see my kids and just kind of dismissing me, going, oh my God, mom, she's read a book or she's listened to some guru telling what to do. But I think if you come at it from a place of understanding what they want, the ultimate goal is to answer all the questions you just shared. I would suggest that one of the ways to come at that is, one, to find out what they want out of the summer. Because you have data you've been collecting about how they handle their summers for all the past years. So asking that question opens up a whole treasure chest of information. It's like, if they say, I just want to come home and rest, well, start digging in there. What do you mean by rest? Why is it so important? Why is that so important? Do you think you're going to need the whole summer to rest? because that really isn't going to meet with your need to make money for next year. And it's one of those things just to dig into whatever they answer, what they want out of the summer. Dig in. If they want, I want to spend all the time with my friends from high school. Well, what is that indicating? Are they not making connections at school? Are they missing people that know their background? You know, what is it that is the driving force behind whatever it is they want out of their summer?
Well, and I like taking some of those questions, and they're really open-ended questions that you can apply to anything. You know, once you ask that first one of going, what do you want out of the summer? Then not making comments, not judging it, not pointing out the obvious flaws in their plan that we're going to see.
Right.
We've been alive longer. We have more experience. They still are not fully developed, you know, in their frontal cortex there. So yes, they're going to probably be flaws in their plan, but rather than pointing that out, just asking some of those questions with that idea of the Mighty Parenting philosophy of live curious, you know? So, you know, what do you mean by that? What does that look like? How are you going to go about doing that? How long do you think that will take? How does that support you for your plans for next year? Like you said, you know, if they're going to just rest all summer, instead of going, well, you need to make money because you got to go and pay for all this stuff next year, go, it sounds like you're really tired. How does resting all summer, you know, do you think that would take care? Well, that's one question too. Like, do you think that would take care of it? Maybe there's something else that they need that is more than just free time to catch up on sleep. Maybe they're so exhausted because there's something else going on. They don't have the tools to handle some of the emotional things that have been happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how does that play out? How is that going to work for you? How does that work in your plans for next year? What do you need from me or us to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does your plan, do you see yourself spending time with the family? And it's okay to say, you know, we really miss you and we'd like to spend some time with you, but we'd like to do it in a way that works for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And by asking these kind of open-ended questions, I think two things stand out to me. One is it will help identify if they don't have a plan at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as problematic, because if they don't have a plan, and you don't know that early on, it will create so much friction when they walk in that door.
And it's going to be, excuse me, it's going to be very difficult for them to pull together a plan. If they haven't made one yet, and it doesn't need to be totally finished out, buttoned up, everything else, but if they haven't even thought about summer, and then they walk in the door, like you said, there's going to be this friction. They're going to feel pushed and rushed. And even if they're motivated to do it, they're on a really tight time frame now to try to make anything happen, volunteering or working or anything else. You know, life has already moved forward and summer gears up early.
And we all know, I mean, the older I get, the more it's in my face, but time flies. The summer is such a short amount of time that, you know, getting a jump start and managing those expectations and using these kind of questions to get a gauge on everything can really set you up for a summer that is building of relationships rather than just going back to being the parent and the person that makes all the decisions. I mean, the goal with our college kids is to, you know, be in that passenger seat. I know we've talked about it.
Episode 17, that's his thing. Move from the driver's seat to the passenger seat of your kids' lives.
Right. And the summer after their freshman year or their sophomore year or even their junior year, it's such an opportunity for you to start practicing some of the things we talk about every week, because your kids are not the same people. You're not the same person. If you've been here for literally the last 20 minutes, or you've been a follower since day one over a year ago, your parenting has been impacted, and you will come at things from a different viewpoint. And starting out with getting ahead of it gives you the ability to get in that passenger seat and give your kids the guidance they're looking for. They don't need us to make decisions anymore. And frankly, if we do make decisions for them at this point, when they've been making their own decisions all year long,
friction,
it's a powder keg.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to dismiss everything you say. And so getting ahead of it fast, I think, is key. Asking those open-ended questions, listening, digging in, like you said, get curious, and really understanding what is going on in their mind will help everybody.
And that also sets the stage for still being the parent. I mean, we still are the parent. It is our house. It is our rules. We're not saying whatever plan your kid comes up with, the whole rest of the family changes their world to make that work. We're just saying, listen to your kid and let them think through their life and make some choices, give them some general guidance. But we do still have to set boundaries. We do still need to have rules. But that also can play into this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, that goes with, okay, so this is your plan for the summer. What do you need from me? Well, I need to use your car 5 days a week to get to work. I can understand why you think that, honey, but that isn't going to be a reality here. This is my car. I use my car. I need my car. I want my car, whatever. So let's talk about other ideas. How else could you get to wherever it is you need to go? Or maybe you are going to let them use your car, or you have a third or a fourth family vehicle that they're allowed to use. Well, who's responsible for changing the oil and filling the gas tank and paying the insurance and all those things? Having these conversations up front instead of waiting until it pops up helps, again, to keep that path smoother. Yeah, I love that you mentioned powder keg, because we talked about, we did the show on family friction, and that's already, part of what we're trying to do today is, right, we want to smooth the way so we don't have family friction. Well, there is sort of this powder keg that's set up a lot of times, and it's that little things that happen are that friction that create the spark that sets off the powder keg. Mm-hmm. So let's not create those sparks unnecessarily.
Right. And I think that, oftentimes, our college kids' expectation, they've come home probably once, twice, maybe three times over the year for
or some their every breaks. Weekend.
Yeah, some on the weekends, right. But I'm saying like for a week here, 2 weeks there, something like that. And the way that life functions during that time is they're a guest and you're taking care and you're cooking their favorite foods and you're helping them with laundry. The summer is a very different time.
Oh my gosh, Judy, I'm sorry. That was just such an eye opener for me to realize what a shock it would be to my child. Because like you said, my kids didn't come home a lot, especially my older one. She was 7 hours away. She did not pop home. She came home for school breaks. And yes, when she came home, it was, she's tired and I haven't seen her and I made extra time and I am doing more to take care of her. And I really make a point of spending time with them and all those things. So that it would be reasonable for them to expect that that's the way summer's going to be.
Right.
This is what's been happening every time I come home for the last year. And now suddenly they come home and it's like, well, here are your chores and here's your,
Right. And I think, isn't that the point of this whole conversation that we're having today? It's that our kids' expectations are coming from our behaviors, just like our expectations are coming from theirs. So as parents, it's up to us to shift that and really help them understand that, okay, the summer is different. Yes. you know, you are coming home and we are excited to have you. We've missed you. And while it's, you're on vacation from school, it's going to be a little different because, you know, 4 months or 3 months that you're home, we still got to do our stuff. So let's talk about the boundaries. I know all through high school, you know, your curfew was at 11 and you have been at college with no curfew whatsoever. And while I can appreciate the fact that 11 may not be right, where I'm coming from is that I don't want to be up all night worrying about you. So right. Let's come up with a plan together to give you the freedom that you're used to, as well as to respect our home and us sleeping and our schedules as well.
And I love the way you did that, where you said, I see, you know, these are the two things that have happened, and I can totally see you wanting to do this, but this is what problem it causes for me. Because what that did now is that set you up for a problem solving. Instead of just saying, yeah, I know this is what we did in high school and you haven't had one, but I need to go to bed, so you need to be home by midnight. By opening it up and doing problem solving, you can come up with creative solutions. I've shared on the show before that was a problem I had when my daughter was in high school. So I'm an early to bed, early to rise person. And she is, you know, she was not. And if she wasn't doing anything ridiculous, she was at the house of families that I knew, and she didn't want to be there till 2, 3, and 4 in the morning. But even her being there till 10 or 11 o'clock at night was hard on me. So we came up with an alternate plan.
Right.
That would let me go to sleep and be able to sleep. Because, yeah, you know, my husband would say, go to bed, it'll be fine. And I'm like, I can't sleep if I don't know she's okay.
Right. And
so we still didn't have to, you know, make her come home in time for me to go to sleep early. We just had our little texting routine, which I know I did on a show before, but I'll share it quickly because I know a number of families have told me they've adopted it and it's worked well for them. So little aside is, since she was going to be at a house of, you know, people I knew, we were comfortable with, these are friends of hers who have my phone number. So our deal was, when she left their house, she would drive home. When she got home, she had to text her friend to tell her friend she was home. Her friend, if they didn't hear from my daughter within 15 minutes of when she left their house, the friend had to call me, which would wake me up so I would know that my daughter did not get home. Therefore, I could go to bed and go, okay, if there's a problem, I will be alerted. But the way you did it, Jude, it opened up to that kind of problem solving, instead of us just saying, this is what I want regardless of what you need.
Right. And so the formula, if you will, is, this is what I see, this is what it does to me, and then how can we find a solution that works for both of us? And just doing that, what that does is it sends the message that I respect the fact that you aren't the same person as you were in high school, and I see that you have taken on much more responsibilities. And I'm willing to let you continue doing that as long as you respect my boundaries. That's an adult having a conversation with an adult.
And that's another point too, is all of this is based on respect. This is not the same conversation that's going to happen if, you know, let's say you have this conversation and you agree on some kind of a new plan for doing chores or pitching in, you know, financially, this is what, you know, they have to fill the gas tank or they have to do the taxi thing, whatever it is. If they are not doing that, if they are being rude and disrespectful to the rest of the family, if they are not being a respectful contributing member of the family, then privileges go away. If you don't act like an adult, you don't get treated like an adult. So
exactly.
I just want to put that out there. You know, mm-hmm. These conversations are, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's work on creating a mutually respectful adult atmosphere. And if the behavior is such that that is not a healthy choice, then no, we don't go there. You know, check out some of the other episodes for dealing with some of the other issues you may be having.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it isn't their right for you to along the lines of what you're saying, it isn't their right to have a cell phone if you're paying for it. It isn't their right to have a car to get to work. It isn't their right to have food on the table when they get home. You can take away all of those things because as I learned very early on, our kids are pretty resilient. They can figure out how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if they're really hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things. And all of these things work to an extent, but it's a little bit different when we're talking about high school kids. So I really want to go there, Sandy.
Yeah. It's not quite the same. We're mm-hmm. going to touch on the same points, I think, because as we went through it, I think a lot of these same things need to happen, but they are younger. And so things are going to, while they overlap, they're going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, we still need to learn about each other because while we've been living together, our roles are shifting. It's not as drastic, but they should be shifting.
And they should be shifting.
Exactly. That, we said that. Yeah. Seriously, people, episode 17 with Dennis 15, move over, get over to the passenger seat. But, you know, this is how we help them learn to manage their own life. So someday they'll be ready to launch. Someday they will not be living in our house or on our couch or in our basement. And having, again, conversations with them. But in this case, we want to, you know, acknowledge that they are growing up. Acknowledge where they have lived up to taking on more responsibility. Point out where they've gotten more privileges and how they've handled that well. This is just a great way to let them know we see them growing up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they may not even realize it. It's a little bit different, but it was interesting to me. So my daughter is graduating college and she had to write a lot of essays about her 4 years at college. She's applying for scholarships for study abroad and stuff. And so she had to do a lot of introspective thinking. And she said she was shocked at what she learned and how much she changed and how much she grew. And I think that's true for all of us. And it's true for our kids. You know, they're just living their life. They don't necessarily see everything we see. And we may not even see it. So, you know, us just taking a step back and going, okay, you know, if my kid's a sophomore, over the last year or 2 years or 3 years, how have they grown? Mm-hmm. How have they been more responsible? Where have we given them more privileges than it's worked? And maybe some areas haven't. So you can be honest about that too. Say, hey, you know, you've been growing and I've seen you take on some more responsibility here. I've seen that you've shirked it in a couple of areas like this, but you're growing and you're learning and point out the parts that they did well. And just then say, hey, you know, as part of that, I'd like to know what your plans and thoughts are for the summer. I think that part of the conversation, the what are your plans, is the same. Yeah.
I agree.
And again, that is teaching them to think for themselves. Now, what may be different, especially depending on our child, you know, they are younger. They don't have the full executive functioning skills. They don't even have as much as our college kids. And they don't have as much life experience. They may not have the tools yet to know how to think through the summer plan. So they may need more guidance, not us creating the plan, but you know, if you ask them and they go, they get the blank look or they get angry or they just go, I don't know, I haven't thought about summer. That's the opportunity to go, I totally get that. And it's time to do that. So would you like me to do that with you or would you like to do it on your own and then we can talk about it later?
Exactly. And it's really about, you know, helping them look at, especially in those high school years, there, you know, I think primarily, you know, between freshman and sophomore year, oftentimes they're doing driver's ed. So I kind of don't think about that much too much other than to have those conversations about summer and driving and how, you know, they want to approach that or whatever. But when they get into that junior year summer and getting ready to go off to college, it's really important to start them thinking and help them do that long-term thinking and long-term exploring. It's not about making sure that they create the plan. It's about showing them the options and possibilities and helping them see the steps to take. One thing that comes to mind is someone has decided that they want to go to college. Okay, perfect time in the summer to start looking at different colleges. Because if they wait till the school year and homework and everything else, they're piling on a whole bunch more stress. So just helping them see that things they can do in the summer when they have that extra time will impact their life later, I think that is great skill to develop during those high school summers.
I like that too. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't wait that long. Mm-hmm. I would start with it sooner. Again, not pushing and saying, oh, we need to go look at colleges summer after freshman year. But just, again, posing that question. And this time, instead of asking the question about, well, what do you think your summer looks like? Pose that question of, have you thought about what life after high school might look like?
I love that question.
As you were talking, I had time to sit back and think, mm-hmm. like, oh, great ideas. And where my brain went next was I backed up to earlier summers to go, okay, this is an opportunity to start helping, you know, guiding them to thinking about their future. They do not have to know what they want to do after high school, the summer after eighth grade or the summer after their freshman year. And we don't want to push them and put a bunch of pressure on them. But asking that question is not unreasonable. And it's something that our kids will have heard about in school. It is pushed so hard through even middle school, you know, right. them figure out what they want to do. But this is a different way to phrase it and a different way to open it up that in my experience, our schools did not do. They right. handled it very differently. The other piece of that same conversation can just be that, you know, for a kid, again, if they have no plan, go, have you thought about a job? Have you thought about volunteering? Have you thought about how you're going to be a contributing member of society? Something that is meaningful for you, that gives you meaning in your life? Because we talk about emotional wellness in Mighty Parenting. It's one of our big goals is we want emotionally healthy adults when we're done raising these kids. And a huge part about being emotionally healthy is having meaning in your life. It can be a small scale thing. It can be a world global goal. It doesn't have to be about how big or small or all encompassing it is. It's just what's meaningful to you. So again, starting that conversation about helping them find something meaningful to do. And our culture pushes us to just enroll them in stuff. Get them into summer camps. Get them into activities. And this is our opportunity, again, to pull back and go, there are lots of great opportunities out there. Even if they come up with a plan and say, yeah, I want to do this summer camp and this summer camp and I want to play this sport, I want to do that. Wow, that sounds really interesting. Why do you want to do those things?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think that mean to you?
Exactly. And digging in that point, and what, as you're talking, what also came to light is they don't say lazy days of summer for no reason.
Yes.
And every single thing that we're talking about today and all of these little questions that we're suggesting you ask your child, and especially in these high school summers, you know, we're talking about some pretty big concepts. We are by no means, and I think I speak for both of us, Sandy, on this one, we are by no means saying sit down and have one massive conversation that's going to change everybody's life.
Right.
We're talking about in the lazy days of summer, under a tree, at the ice cream shop, making lemonade together, picking stuff out of the garden, whatever you do, walking the beach, you know, driving to somewhere. It's the perfect time to have these conversations, because the reality is when our kids are not in academics, in school, their stress level is less and they are more open to having these casual conversations that helps you take a pulse on their life. And that's, you know, one of the final things that I want to just, I know we both are so hot on this, but summer is the perfect time to take a pulse on your child's mental health. I want to say that again.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect time.
It is. It absolutely is. But before we, I want to go back there for a second. Mm-hmm. Before we do, I just want to also point out, I realized that in this conversation we had, it can sound like we are advocating for our kids to have a very full calendar for the summer. We are also not advocating for that because the lazy days of summer are important. It can be, their plan for the summer could be recouping. You know, we started out where you said the kid might come home and go, oh, my plan is to rest. And that may well be what they need. They might need to have a very low-key summer. And depending on you and your child and what that means in your world, that's for you guys to decide. Mm-hmm. And it is important. It is important for our kids. Studies show what happens to our bodies when we rest is important. What happens in our minds, we don't tap into creativity. Well, it's not true. Let me rephrase that. When we get bored, our brain physiologically changes, it switches gears, and that's when it goes into creative mode. So if your kid is lying out in the hammock and staring at the tree or staring at the sky or whatever, that is okay too. They may very well be resting or being creative. So have the conversations, do those things, but just don't mistake it for us advocating that they need to be busy, nor are we advocating they shouldn't be doing anything. We're saying,
right.
Talk to them and with them, figure out what they really need and what is best for them. And all that ties into, as you said, Judy, it ties into their mental health, their emotional well-being. Just mm-hmm. knowing you care enough to have these conversations improves their emotional well-being.
Right. And you got to listen, not just to the words they say, but you have to listen to their body language, listen to noticing the small, subtle changes. Are they gone from one extreme to the other? Are they more introverted? Are they stepping away from everything that you know they love? Or are they diving 2 feet into things that normally they would have just taken a look at? It's not any of those single things that signal, you know, danger Will Robinson. It's just being aware of the changes that are going on with your child. And then, I mean, I feel like we beat a dead horse sometimes, but then having that conversation and listening to all of their actions and verbiage and tone and all of the essentials of communication that we're learning about. It's just, if something feels off, trust your gut and dig in. I know we have the Warning Signs book as a resource. We have different podcasts that help you, you know, identify what to do or how to understand if there's more going on. But it's really begins with these simple conversations and the mellowness of summer, and that time of year is a perfect opportunity for having those conversations and taking a pulse on your kids' health and well-being.
We do. It is the time to do that. You know, we know that there are more mental health issues with our kids than ever before. I was at a meeting this morning where these things were coming up and we were talking with our regional school and officials and what was happening. So yes, you know, this is our time to take a pulse. And obviously we're at the end of the show. We're running out of time here. We can't go into it in great detail, but we do check out certainly the Mighty Parenting Tackles episodes for coping strategies and things like that. Look for the the suicide prevention show. Just because we talk about what kinds of changes in your kids to look for, get the Warning Signs book. We'll put some links in the show notes on the Mighty Parenting site for this episode with a few good pertinent shows on mental wellness and things to help you look for. But take that pulse, take that time, and enjoy your summer. Enjoy them being home. We don't get that oftentimes as long as we used to. I have many friends who their kid went away to college their freshman year, and with jobs and internships and stuff, they never came home again.
Hello.
Other than the quick trip, you know, there were no more summers or anything. So, yep. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy them. We're giving you all of this not to freak you out. We're giving you all of this to make the most of it and to help you make good parenting choices, good choices for your family. Exactly. So real quick though, I would just want to go back and go. So in a nutshell, what we said was recognize whether your kids are in high school or college. It's going to be more dramatic when they're in college typically than when they're in high school, but recognize that they're growing and changing. You are growing and changing. And so take the time to learn about each other and recognize that your roles are shifting. Then have those open-ended conversations. Make sure that you're listening to them, that you're working with them to manage expectations and set healthy boundaries. And make sure that you also have a conversation about what the rules will be for the summer, because there will be rules. Be willing to listen if they don't like something to a reasonable, respectful dissent, but have those conversations and then enjoy your kids. So there's my wrap up for today, Jude.
Exactly. And we just want to thank you all for being here. We love chatting to you about the things that we're all dealing with day in and day out, and invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all that we have to support you along the way. And remember, you are a mighty parent, and we are your biggest cheerleaders. This is Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler saying see you next week.